And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast.
Always makes me laugh. We're always self-conscious when we have guests in.
I know. Like,
where I was like,
how much
God.
Do I really want to sing
D
along?
D and I are not singing.
I wanted to sing along.
I'm just like, I'm so sorry.
Well, I would like to, first of all, get the sponsors out of the way as we're here in the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. We love O'Reilly. We have a location literally a half a block away. If you love music, you got to download the Pickle Jar app. It is super cool. You can show some gratitude. You can tip your favorite artists, your favorite bands. You can support causes around town. Plus, they have exclusive content that you can't find anywhere else. Get it today for your Apple or for your Droid, picklejar.com. All right. Now it's all you.
I always start taking like fake notes and stuff. Like,
oh, yeah,
I'm very
like
busy.
Act like you're serious.
Yeah, I'm over here doing some kind of trigonometry. And I'm very... Don't look at me. Just don't listen to this. Don't look at me. I'm so sorry. Hey, we're excited. Patricia Heaton and her husband David are in the studio with us. Good to see you guys.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having
Appreciate
us, guys.
It.
And welcome to Nashville. New. How long have you guys been?
Well, we've been in town a couple of years, but we've been in and out constantly because actually the film that we're going to talk about, we were in the middle of filming that and editing it in post-production and all that kind of stuff. So we haven't really settled, so we're kind of new to these parts.
Are you from Indiana?
Yes.
Because I'm picking that up on your accent.
Actually, Massapequa, Long Island is where I'm from originally.
Okay.
No, I'm from England originally. I'm actually a country boy, though.
We have a huge country following in England, in the United Kingdom. It's crazy.
Well, my uncle Robin is a massive country music fan. He used to play in a skiffle band in the 60s.
What is a skiffle?
Well, it's kind of like came out of the blues, and then it's where like Jimmy Page and people like that, that's where they began. It's like a washboard, and it's sort of a hybrid rock and roll country music kind of a thing.
You guys have washboard players in the United Kingdom?
We did they did in the 60s, apparently. There was a guy called Lonnie Donegan who used to do Rock Island Line and stuff like that and steal from all the country artists in the States. So he's a massive fan. In fact,
Bob, I sent you a link.
Okay.
He wants to, we're going to bring him over to Nashville because this has been his lifelong dream
not
to come visit.
Not the skiffle player, your uncle.
Your uncle. My uncle, yeah. Yes. Not the skiffle player. No, I don't know if Lonnie Donegan's still alive, bless him, but there you go.
But we also, our son went to Belmont University here.
Okay.
And, of course, had a band for a while and still is here. And then my sister is a Catholic nun at St. Cecilia's Convent.
Really?
Wow.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So we've been coming here on and off for about 10 years or more. So we kind of knew
the
area.
We kind of fell in love with the place.
Yeah.
And this is the... This is like the place to come.
Nashville was nearer the ocean, it would be the perfect city on, maybe the most perfect city on planet Earth.
Yeah, but it's got a lot of great lakes to go to and visit and a lot of paths, the
I gotta
walking
say,
paths.
It's a fantastic
gorgeous
place.
Here.
But the key is the people. And I'm not saying that because we're sitting here being interviewed, but if you hold a gun to my head, I would say the same thing. People are just amazing here. They are so much friendlier than in L.A. Okay, I'll get my coat.
I like how you said it like we are like we don't already know that.
Yeah.
People in L.A.
Well,
know that.
But we didn't. You know,
we were offered way back in the day. Hey guys, where do you want to do the show from? And there was a couple cities that we struggled between. We were like, do we want to be? You know, I wanted to be by the beach. Remember, I wanted Jacksonville. And Big D was like, oh, we got to be in Nashville. And then the company wanted us on the West Coast. So we were going to probably end up in San Diego. And finally, everything just kind of worked out that we ended up here. And I'm really glad it worked out that way.
Yeah.
Are you guys from here originally or no?
Big D's from an hour away.
Uh-huh. From Cookeville,
Tennessee. Myself and Patrick are both from South Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And Carson.
I am from the country hub known as Connecticut.
We make a lot of fun of Carson for that, by the way. We'll tell stories from our childhood about like drinking from the water hose and whatever. And Carson will be like, I don't know, some
My
Connecticut
house had a pool.
Thing. Yeah,
it was like, yeah. We drink pool water. I don't know.
We had a pool when it flooded during hurricane season. I mean, that was pretty much it.
One of my best friends from New York is from Greenwich, Connecticut.
Oh, you have rich and, friends?
Yeah. Very fancy.
He had rich parents.
Yes.
So, Patricia, everybody loves Raymond, the middle. And so we're so used to seeing you on screen. And so this new movie that you're doing, that you guys have done, it's called Unexpected. You're in it? You're starring in it?
No, I'm
you're
just behind... producing it with Dave. And it was so, I loved it so much because I'm sitting next to Dave behind the monitor where the director watches what's happening on camera.
Which would be me.
That's Dave. And, to watch the actors come in and be nervous, and have that adrenaline going, I was just so glad that wasn't me. Like, for once, I was on the other side watching it, and I thought, I don't think I ever want to do that again because I just love sitting and watching and giving notes.
But you still got nervous? I mean...
Oh, yes. At the beginning of every season of Raymond or The Middle, I'd come in and I'd think, I have completely forgotten how to do this. I don't know what I'm doing. Every year. And then I just did a couple, just doing a couple scenes on a movie over the last couple of years where you come in and that whole cast and crew has bonded and you're just coming in for a day to do something and you don't really know anybody and they're on a tight schedule because the budget is low and you don't want to screw up because they have to move on and you're just the interloper who's coming in for one day. It's really nerve-wracking, but it's the good, it's what I like about this, our industry. You're always being challenged and you're always learning and it never gets really scary, but it never gets boring.
Mm-hmm. She loved being on set because she could nag me all day long.
But we work well together.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
There's usually one big fight during shooting.
That's pretty much guaranteed. You can set your watches by it. It's going to happen at least.
Do you
once.
Have that on set or like, do you take it?
Oh, the last
off?
One on this movie, Unexpected, we had, the pandemic was blowing up. Everything was happening. Dave and I were kind of arguing, and a neighbor that was across from the location comes running over and goes, "Can I pray for you?" I was like, "Yes, please."
That's a good fight. That's a good fight.
Kind of took the wind out of the situation.
It's hard to keep fighting after that, isn't it?
It really is.
Maybe that's a nice little tip for anybody who is, newly married. Anytime it starts to get heated, just stop and go, "Can I pray for us?"
So what is this Unexpected? What is it? What's it about? It's an adult comedy. It's a quirky comedy about a young couple who can't have kids. And she wants to adopt and he doesn't. And it's the journey they go on. But it goes on a really interesting kind of journey in the third act. Things start to change, and it's got a huge heart. But we've screened it a couple places, just kind of testing it out, and people so far are loving it. So we're very excited about it. But it's been a long time coming.
How does a movies like how do these get made? I don't think people understand the process.
Oh, gosh. Well,
we optioned a book in 2004, and we've been actually trying to develop it since then. It can take that long, and and we finally...
We almost had it done like 7 times.
Yes, and money falls out or actors drop out or whatever, and it's hard to make all those pieces come together at the same time. We finally decided, okay, we'll just do it ourselves. We'll finance it ourselves. We'll do low budget. We'll get it done. We went to Oklahoma City, a great place to shoot. We had done all but 5 days of the movie. We had 5 days left, and the pandemic shut us down.
And then we had to recast one of the actors.
And, so you had to reshoot all of their scenes.
I had to reshoot almost the entire movie the following year. So literally it's finished about a week ago. And I'm not joking. We thought 6 months of our lives, it turned out to be 2.5 years.
Yeah. Wow. And it doubled the budget.
It's been quite the journey. And the budget doubled. And we had so many challenges in the middle of it. We thought, we're never going to get this done. We're never going to work again. We're going to be broke. And, you go to that dark place, and now here we are.
So it basically took, from when you optioned it, 18 years to get to this point.
Yeah, we weren't working on it 7 days a week, I admit that. But, based on the book, we wrote a script. And
well, we didn't write it, but we
Well,
it.
Okay, yeah. but we yeah. meaning, yeah.
The team.
The yeah. team, yeah. And it just wasn't working. And I turned to the writer, who we'd worked with for a number of years before, and I said, you know what? Needs a different engine.
Because it was only about adopting animals to begin with. This couple who just put their energies into rescuing animals. And that was kind of the whole story.
And it was cute and funny, but it didn't really, you know, didn't really make a movie. So I said, why don't we make the couple childless? They can't have kids and make it about adoption. He said, oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, that they're pouring their mothering instincts into these animals.
And, yeah. So a week later, he calls me. He goes, hey, Dave, I got the first draft. I said, what's the matter with your voice? He goes, it poured out of me. I said, how come? Why are you sounding like this? He goes, I never told you this, but both my girls are adopted.
Yeah. Oh.
And we got chills and went, ooh, we struck a nerve. And there's some of the dialogue in the movie, which I hope you guys get to see, is almost verbatim some exchanges he and his wife had as they went on this journey. And I swear to God, I've seen it 1,000 times. And it destroys me every time I watch it.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
But in
the best
way.
But in the best way. So is this going to hit me like in a bad way?
Are you adopted?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to love this.
You're going to love it.
Oh, okay.
You will love it, my friend. You will.
Okay.
Because it's very life-affirming.
Yeah, and it's very moving, but it's super funny. It's super funny.
Okay, so I like that, then.
And, well, we like, you know, I do basically mostly comedy. And I find that comedy really kind of softens people's hearts and opens their hearts up. And then, you know, then it's open to, you know, the moving stuff that's in there.
You guys are doing, it's going to be Sunday at the Franklin Theater. It'll be October 2nd, depending on when you're listening to this, to see Unexpected. And what do you just go and just, you have to go on to the National Film Festival to get tickets, or can you, that's the best part?
Yeah, you can actually show up on the day, but if you go on their website.
Nashville Film Fest.
Yes.
.org.
Yes. You can purchase tickets.
Yeah.
And it's called Unexpected.
Yeah.
And we want people to come. And this is our first offering to Nashville.
Yes. We're really excited.
As new artists in town, you know.
You know, we felt very welcome to the community. We're really excited to be a part of it. And we were really thrilled when they accepted our movie because we want to see the entertainment industry continue to grow. There's a lot of people coming from L.A., into Nashville and
a lot.
Yes,
mm-hmm. We know.
Sorry.
sorry about that.
Listen,
can you guys buy me a house? Or,
I was over at this place called the Picnic Cafe because my new neighbor wanted to take me over because I'd never had pimento cheese before.
You've never had pimento cheese?
Well, I have now. But she said to the waitress, she said, "Marge, this is my new neighbor, Patty." And she said, "Oh, welcome to Nashville. I hope you're not from L.A." I said originally Cleveland. Does that count?
Yeah, that counts. Yeah, you know, it's a little detour.
Hey, did you know that your sister was going to be a nun growing up?
Well, my mom is one of 15 children, and my grandmother got Catholic Mother of the Year for the United States and a medal from the Pope.
What?
So there had to be at least one of us becoming a religious person. Yeah.
Really? Wow. Like for real? That you didn't just make that up?
No. I have like 100 first cousins.
She's got
on my
so many
side.
Cousins. She married me because I'm out of the country. That way she was pretty much guaranteed she wasn't going to marry a relative.
That was like
my father was one of 9 kids.
Oh yeah, but you're not Catholic.
Yes,
right?
I am.
Oh, because you're from Louisiana.
I'm from Louisiana.
Oh, yeah,
pretty much everybody is Catholic. If you're not, we look at you and go, "What happened? Y'all come from somewhere else?
How did you end up here?"
Yeah. So I kind of knew, and she was originally in a cloister where you don't even speak, you never see the person again. But that didn't really fit with her. So she went to the Dominicans, which are at St. Cecilia's Convent. Lovely. They have Aquinas College here and 2 lower schools, and they're a teaching order. So they're very, very well educated.
Tell the guys
women.
Where she originally went to school, though.
Who's Sharon?
Yeah. Where? She was at Kent State.
Oh, Kent State. Oh, the shootings happened.
She was part of the whole.
So she was like part of like Students for Democratic Society and Student Socialists of America.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And now she's a Dominican nun. Full habit. she's big honking rosary beads hanging down. Yeah.
Does she wear that all the time?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
By the way.
Do you have to wear that when you leave?
Yes. Yeah.
We know nothing about all this.
Because I see the nuns in cars sometimes in traffic, and I'm like, I would love to just have a conversation with them.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the reason they wear it all the time, because it's this kind of a symbol of God in the community. And people who would normally maybe have something on their heart, they feel okay about going up to a sister when they see her and saying, "Sister, can I talk to you about something?" So, because the nun sister is wearing that habit, they know that's someone they can talk to.
Tell them the LA story.
What's that?
Tell him the LA story. Come
My
on.
Sister and two of the nuns came and visited in Los Angeles. And we, she went to a bagel store and ordered some bagels by herself. And so the guy behind the counter would not charge her for the bagels. He said, just take them, sister, just take them. So she walks out, and a man comes running up to her and says, sister, I found this $20 on the ground. I want to give it to you for whatever your order is. She goes, no, you keep it, you keep it. He goes, no, sister, take it. So she said, well, thank you so much. And then a young girl comes up and goes, that's my $20. I just dropped it. And my sister said, oh, here, take it back. And the girl goes, forget it, you keep it.
But can I have your bagel?
But they got hotel rooms in LA for like $4.
Yeah.
And they were playing basketball in our backyard. And
in their habits?
Yep.
Yes, full habits.
With our four
and playing
boys.
Guitars, and it was brilliant.
With our four boys.
And a friend drove by and almost ran into the next door neighbor's house in his pickup truck and almost hit the wall. And he called me and said, what's going on? Are you shooting a movie back there? No. just our friends playing basketball.
Sister Act 18.
So we're finding out there's a really easy way to get free stuff in the world.
It is kind of just a scam for getting discounts.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen.
Just get dressed up and do your thing.
Yeah.
So how long did she not get to talk?
Well, she was in that order for maybe 2 years and then decided.
Oh, so she didn't talk for 2 years?
Well, they have what they call recreation, which is they get 30 minutes to talk to each other.
A day.
A day.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah,
so write letters?
It's a contemplative order. So they're working, they're making things. I can't remember what that particular order made. But and they're working, and they're working in the convent, and they spend most of their time praying. So their vocation is to pray for the world.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's funny to think of them like getting just 30 minutes to talk and then trying to go down. Oh, quick, I've got something else to tell you. Hurry, wait, wait, wait.
And another thing.
Time's up. And then, oh.
It's like a bell. It's like, it's late for class.
Who was the first like country artist celebrity that you guys met when you got to Nashville?
Well, I've known Reba McEntire for a while because we share a makeup artist.
Okay.
Yeah. So
but
that's
long before that, Dolly Parton.
Yeah. Yeah,
because we were going to develop a show for her before the show Nashville was made.
We had a similar
idea, and we pitched it to Dolly, and she wanted to do it. And she turned to us in the meeting. I'll never forget this. It still gives me chills. She said, "Would you like me to write the music for this show?" And we just went, "Well, yes." She was absolutely delightful.
Then
but then she had to go on for tour for 2 years.
Yeah,
and so,
but then after she said that, she said, I can kind of see, like, I could do a song like this, or if it's a scene about that. Well, I just go like, and then she just started singing, and the hair on her arms stood up, and it was just, you know, just off the cuff, beautiful. I mean, stunning. It was, really exciting.
Dolly doesn't even seem like a real person to me. And I don't mean that to be, like, in any way, she's just like magic.
Magic.
She is. No, and I've been in a room with her a few times, and every time it's like, that's not even real. This is just, she's just so, first of all, she's 45% plastic. She'll tell you that herself. I'm not the one saying. But also, it's just like, she just has this like joyous kind of thing. So I went to see her at a show in Huntsville, 6 years ago or something like that. And I wasn't going to, I don't do what they call meet and greets, where you just line up to take a picture, because the artists come in here and I know them and I see them at parties and stuff, and I don't want to take someone else's spot, but it's Dolly Parton. And so one of her publicists came up to me and said, listen, you want to get in the meet and greet? And I blamed it on the person I was with, my business manager. I'm like, well, let's do it for her, you know? And then as we got closer to that line and just got closer and closer to Dolly, I went.
You started to sweat.
Oh, man. You know, I looked at my friend Katie, who was with me, our business manager, and I said, I'm just gonna go for it. She goes, all right, go for it. And it was our turn, and I went, oh, my God, Dolly Parton. She goes, look at you, honey. You just look fabulous. And I was like, this is exactly the exchange I want. It was so perfect.
Spreading the Dolly dust.
Yeah, she's just amazing.
She's otherworldly, I think, you know. She really has an amazing presence.
Oh, yeah.
She's like the queen of America, is what she is.
Yeah.
She's like the America's queen.
She could be. Look, we're running out of people that everybody loves.
Right.
Right.
Like, we talked about that a while back.
We don't have many people.
When Betty White died, like, there's not that many people left that everybody loves. Mm-hmm. Right. Universally loved people. And Dolly's one of those. Mm-hmm. Like, if you have something bad to say about Dolly Parton, you better go say it in a quiet room by yourself.
Or you better have some kind of way to back it up.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
If it's just an opinion, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was saying country music, we have George is mm-hmm. universally loved.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah,
George Strait.
Yeah, George Strait. Mm-hmm. Yeah, does he have to be alive? Yeah, of course.
Well, yeah,
yes. Yeah, it's his whole point. He said we're running out of.
Straight. Alan Jackson?
I mean, I guess, but I'm not sure how much that's, you know, everybody even knows. I would think, I mean, obviously Garth, but, you know, I have actually met people who don't like Garth Brooks.
Because they're awful and shouldn't be on this planet.
No,
jealous.
Straight up.
I won't tell Carson who they are because she'll hunt them down and beat them up.
But I mean, everybody deserves a good face punch every once in a while. And if I have to set you straight about Garth, I will do it.
Is there anybody in the acting community that is just universally loved?
I would say Tom Hanks is like
he's pretty high.
The
yeah.
Jimmy Stewart of
Keanu.
His generation.
Oh, yeah, Keanu.
He seems big, like an incredible person.
Here he like gives money to people like randomly. He would ride in his motorcycle, he'd just stop over and be like, here's $1,000, have a nice day, and drive away.
Wow.
It's one of those things, though, like Keanu's kind of like Bill Murray when like they tell these stories and you're like, I don't know if that's true, but it's probably true because like, you know, you just hear anything. You can attribute almost anything to Bill Murray and people will believe it.
But, you know, I know that that is true, as we've talked about before.
Oh, they did a whole documentary
on that. Bill Murray stopped
in
on my buddy's Super Bowl party. He saw them watching the game from the street and he, ding dong. Hey, can I come watch the game with you guys?
Way.
Yeah, and they were like, yeah. Wow. So he sent me pictures and everything. He's like, look at Bill Murray sitting here watching the Super Bowl with us. So he
did
does
a whole documentary
do
on those. If you've never seen it, it's amazing. I can't remember what it's called. It's a just look, Bill Murray Stories documentary. And they research whether or not these things were like true urban legends are true. And there's so many of them that they have proof of.
See, my biggest fear would be I would like ding dong and then nobody would know who I was. Mom, there's some strange lady wants to come in and watch the Super Bowl.
You show up at my mom's house, they'd be like, she'd be like, it's that lady from Raymond. She would go, come on, are you hungry?
They would feed you good.
Yes, they would.
Do you guys run into people that from L.A. that you didn't know moved here?
Everybody sort of puts out the call of like, I'm coming. So you kind of know that everybody's here. Yeah.
Who else is
hiding
that we don't
us.
Know?
Let's see. You know, Gary Sinise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll be here
he'll
soon.
Be here
he
soon,
moved
yeah.
his whole foundation here. And in fact, you know, he raises about $30 million a year to build homes for wounded vets.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And so he's moved that foundation to Franklin. And this coming Saturday night, myself and Kelsey Grammer are hosting his first benefit in Nashville for his foundation at Opryland. What's the hotel? So I think if you go to the Gary Sinise Foundation, if you're interested in supporting that too.
And we were with Gary sort of right at the beginning when he first came up with the idea. And it's amazing how that organization has grown.
Well, we're
and the work that they do.
Dee and I are both pilots, and Gary and his band always play the EAA Air Venture, and it's so cool to see what he's doing.
With the Lieutenant Dan band.
He's a good guy.
Tireless, selfless, wonderful person. He's another guy along with Tom Hanks who's just like beloved.
I swear, what's the pirate guy? I swear he lives
Johnny
here.
Johnny Depp?
Yes, he lived here too?
I don't think so.
I swear I saw him in
no
traffic.
No pirate guy. What pirate guy? Oh, what you guys don't know about us is that Big D doesn't know any actors' names.
None.
And it's a recurring,
so probably
fantastic.
If I went and knocked on his door to watch the Super Bowl, he wouldn't even remember that we talked.
No. You know what? He might now know you as Patty. Okay. Like, oh, that's Patty. I met her.
And I'm Dave, just in case you've forgotten that already, Big D.
He doesn't know the names of people he's seen in movies. And like, so it's so much
and it's
fun.
Big names.
Big, yeah. Really? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like who's the guy from Titanic, D?
Watch this. He's got to figure it out. And he walked through.
He's in that Wolf movie.
Yes.
He's also the meme where he's dressed up and he has like a.
Yes.
Yeah, he's that meme. Mm-hmm.
Champagne.
He's laughing.
A drink.
Like,
yeah.
That guy, yeah.
He's Gatsby. Yes, Gatsby.
So he knows
this is
who
impressive.
We're talking
he
about.
He only dates 25-year-olds.
That's right.
25 years or less.
There's a video where he runs up on his bud, who's also an actor, the heavyset guy.
Jonah Hill. Yep. Yeah.
Jonah Hill. He walks up to him and goes, with a camera, like he's going to take it, like whatever. And then he realizes it's him. He's like, oh my God. That's funny.
That you
so what's his name?
That.
Yeah, he remembers so many details, but he can't tell you his
Leonardo
name.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yay! Yay!
Let's see what he would have won.
I was waiting for him to say Da Vinci. We do this as a recurring segment. It's like,
yeah, it's
Dee doesn't know famous people. It's so much fun.
I tell you who is great, by the way, is Clint Eastwood. I think he's one of those guys. I really do.
Oh yeah, that everyone
he's
loves.
He's like an icon.
Yeah, he should be.
Yeah.
And he keeps making great movies. He's like 90-something years old, and he keeps doing it.
So here's something, a little piece of trivia. In the last Dirty Harry movie, Clint Eastwood's Dirty Harry movie, David Hunt here, sitting next to me, was the serial killer in the movie.
What?
Wait, what? Were?
Yeah. So I started my career then.
Yeah.
I killed Jim Carrey.
In the movie.
In the movie. And I was impersonating Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, and in the end, I tortured Patricia Clarkson, and I got amazing reviews for that film, by the way. no, but that was
a
dream.
He's the only villain who got the magnum from him.
I got his magnum from him. I'm the only actor who's ever had that. But it was a dream experience. I mean, I'm fresh out of the Juilliard School, and I'm standing in the middle of a San Francisco street in the middle of the night, standing next to Clint. Chatting, and I was like, "Oh my God, this is amazing!" It was one of those you just like surreal. You're pinching yourself.
You know that happens a lot. You know, no matter how long you've worked, like you'll find yourself at a makeup trailer next to somebody, and like I did a early on two scenes in a movie with Chevy Chase, and he I was so frozen with. Like shock when he would come and sit next to me in the makeup chair. I never said hello to him. And like the third morning he comes and he goes, "Good morning, Patricia." I was like, "I'm so sorry. I don't know how to pronounce your name. I'm so nervous." Is it Chevy or Chevy? I don't know. I used to watch you on Saturday Night Live, but I'm so nervous right now.
It's amazing.
So you guys will push this movie, it's unexpected, and you'll do the showing and whatnot. What goes after this? What's the end goal, I guess?
Well, distribution. We've sold it to a distributor already, and their plan is to release it in the early part of 2023, next year. And it'll probably just be digital. Like, we'll probably get it on
a streamer.
On a streamer like Amazon, Hulu. One of those places. So then we'll
do another big push so that everybody can come and see it. But Sunday is very special because, you know, anybody in Nashville can come. Our stars, Anna Camp, who was in the Pitch Perfect movies, and Joe Mazzello, who was just in Bohemian Rhapsody. Joe is actually the little boy in the very first Jurassic Park movie. Oh. But they will be there. And Dave and I will be there, and there'll be a Q&A at the end. So it'll be really fun, and we just want to share it with all the wonderful people.
So,
Nashville.
This is a chance to see it before
it gets out.
It's Sunday at noon at the Franklin Theater in Franklin, Tennessee. Go ahead.
I was going to say, so I know you're here to promote the movie, but can I ask a couple questions about some of your other shows? Mm-hmm. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. You were on Raymond for like what, nine seasons?
Nine and a half years.
And it's so hard for somebody to go from a role where you are Deborah, like that's it, that you're going to be in everybody's mind forever, and then to start over and have another show that went for nine seasons, like that's
unheard of.
I mean, how many people have done that?
I just
like
feel,
you and Julia Louis-Dreyfus,
yeah,
and that's
she's,
it.
Yeah, she's, yeah, and you know, I feel really blessed because that doesn't happen very often. It kind of worked out because we have four sons, and you know, you're trying to raise your kids and you don't want to go away and you don't work to take you away. So I never, you know, I was taking them to school in the morning, coming home, you know, after school, I was able to be like kind of full-time mom and full-time actress. I feel really blessed about that.
What was one of the bigger differences between, you know, by the time you're doing the middle, you're already the star, like when it starts. It's got to be different than when you started doing Everybody Loves Raymond. No one knows if it's going to work or who you guys are.
Right, but you don't even know if it's, because even if you are considered a star, you know, your show could totally tank. I did a show with Kelsey Grammer called Back to You. And it didn't.
I'm not going to lie, I don't know that.
Okay, well, that's because it didn't last very long.
Nine episodes.
So yeah. You can think you have all the, this is what's crazy about this business. You think you have all the elements. Okay, this show is going to be a home run because it's me and it's Kelsey and actually Josh Gad was in it. That was his first show. And then
Ty Burrell
from Modern Family. Yeah. It was just this incredible, and nope, it was canceled after.
The writer's strike was partly responsible,
but still, you know, you just don't know. But and that's kind of the awful part about it. It's kind of the wonderful thing about it because, you know, it could happen at any time. I think that's what keeps us in here probably in the business longer than we should stay is that you think just around the corner.
It's like golf. It's like hitting one good shot. You could play the worst round of your life, but you hit one good shot and you go, man, I'll go back. Yeah. One more.
You're right. Yes.
Well, I'm not going to lie. Carson and I pretty much just wanted you guys to come in so we could fangirl about how much we love The Middle.
Honestly had a thought. I'm not going to say it was my first thought when the queen died. Yeah. But it was one of my top five was like, oh my gosh, poor Frankie is going to watch the funeral. Because it just stands out to me, her being so hyped for Kate Middleton's wedding, which also was me, reflected. Yeah. I'm like, yes, this is our Super Bowl. Like, we are watching this. And I thought, like, oh.
Yes, she goes so far as to go and buy a big flat screen TV that she plans on returning afterwards. That was great. You know, the difference is Raymond was a multicam show, so you rehearse for 4 days like a play, and then four cameras come in, and you do it in front of an audience like a play from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. And you go in at 10 o'clock in the morning, and you're usually done about 5. You know, it was a nice schedule. The Middle is single camera. They shoot it like a movie, so you shoot it all out of order. There's no audience. You shoot every day. There's no rehearsal. You start at 6 in the morning, come home at 6 at night. It's a much tougher schedule.
Which is more fun to do, though?
Well, the audience, the multi-camera, because the audience is there. So you get that response. And you get to see it, in sequence, in order. So when you're shooting single camera, it's shot all out of order. You don't know what it's going to look like until you see it on the screen.
But you also get instant feedback from the audience, which is like doing a little play in front of cameras. That's the big difference.
Because like Neil had done Scrubs, and that was single camera.
Yeah.
That's the first time I realized when they pointed out that show was single cameras. First time I realized, oh yeah, this looks different than every other sitcom I've ever seen. Because for years it was
just
all
multi-camera,
multi-cam shows.
Well, also
Neil's
Flynn
in the movie.
He's in our movie.
Unexpected. That's right. By the way,
yes,
I do remember seeing that in the materials they sent.
Actually, there's Neil Flynn and two other actors, Paul Hipp and Pat Finn, who are also in The Middle, who are in the movie. And they're hilarious.
So it all ties together. That we started fangirling about it. The Middle, by the way, is on HBO Max.
Yeah.
I think that's the one. Mm-hmm. We've started watching it because we're trying to find things that we can watch together with my 13-year-old daughter.
Yep.
And it is. You know, some of those sitcoms, especially, you know, the ones from a few years ago, you know, they were still more, it feels more family friendly.
Oh, my gosh.
And it feels like something you can really dig into. So we've got 9 seasons. We can sit there and whenever she feels like she wants to watch a show with us, we go, oh, okay, well, let's see.
Yeah.
And she really relates to it because she's a kid, you know, 13 years old.
Right. Sue Heck.
Like Sue,
right
so
there.
It kind of
well,
really.
Well, Sue Heck is one of the greatest TV kids of all time because she's not good at anything.
Right.
She fails at everything she tries. She's the most enthusiastic, positive person who loves her mom and dad and loves America. And, you know, she never is daunted. And, you know, most of these teen girls that are portrayed are either kind of cynical and nasty or they're super brainy and kind of nasty. And, you know, she's just this lovely, lovely character.
It's also the show is the only sitcom, I think, that dealt with a family that was struggling economically. That were really kind of you know, working class.
Other than like when Roseanne Barr.
That was since Roseanne.
But yeah, you're right. And it felt like everybody I know, you
right.
know?
Yes.
Because we talk about like the Jason Aldean song, Flyover States.
Yes.
Like people just forget that, you know, most of America is the people who live outside of cities in the middle of the country.
Right.
And so, you know, even if you live in California or New York, you probably don't live in a city if you're listening to this show. You know,
right.
So that's most of us. And
well,
I feel like that
it
content's
really is.
Not
you know,
made for us.
Yeah,
most
the
of
show
the time.
Yellowstone with Kevin Costner has the highest audience rate of any show. They are never talked about in Hollywood. They never get any nominations for anything. It's as if the show doesn't exist. It's very
so
weird.
Annoying.
And yet, weird. Crazy, well, because I think, Patrick, you got a call one day that people were saying, like, we need content about rural.
Yes.
So as much as, like, they don't talk about it, they're like, yeah.
we need something there's like a
lot,
that.
There is a lot of copycat stuff going on. And that's with anything. If you have a song that's really popular, if, you know, mm-hmm. Billie Eilish puts something out, everybody wants to sound like that. You listen to that Dove Cameron thing, and I know y'all are like, this is not, this is country. What are you talking about? I'm just saying, it sounds like complete copycat stuff. Right. And it's the same with country music. You have somebody who gets popular. That's how we got the bro music thing that went through, the bro country deal. Whatever popular thing is, everybody chases it.
Yes.
And what's cool is to be able to be that person who isn't chasing and who is just comfortable just doing what you do.
Right.
And I think people forget that. And people also forget where most people are. And you're right. A show that serves the masses is always going to be popular.
Yes.
I think that's a very good point. And it's actually, I think there's a lot of people in Hollywood making movies for each other so they can brag about it at dinner parties. Mm-hmm. And I don't care who hears this, because it's true. You're right. The vast majority of real America lives outside of those little tiny bubbles. By the way, we got a Billie Eilish song in our movie too. Yeah. Which nice, was unbelievable, because we have an amazing music supervisor. Steve Schnurry does all the stuff for EA Games and works with Hans Zimmer. And
oh, no way.
We recorded a live orchestra here in Nashville. And oh, gosh, the music is amazing. And he got us an amazing deal on this Billie Eilish song. He calls me up. It was one of the last days we were shooting. He says, I got the song. Great. Next week, it wins Song of the Year at the Grammys. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, whoa. It's everything I wanted.
That's so crazy. That's a cool job. The music supervisor for like TV or movies. Yes. That's got to be the best ever.
Yeah. Your job is just to listen to music and then match it up with stuff.
So is it insane? I mean, y'all would obviously know a little more about it. Is it like crazy, like having to fight over songs and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, wasn't too crazy. I think the hardest part was actually figuring out which songs, you know, work best and then seeing if you can afford them. I mean, we had to cut out a bunch of stuff.
Here's what I do, and this is pretty common, but, you know, when you're editing, I will just throw music in, stuff that I like or stuff that I think is appropriate, and I'll just mess around with it. Because at that point, there's nothing in there.
Right. It's just temporary.
And every once in a while, like the Billie Eilish song, I went, it completely worked for this character in this moment. And I went, that was my first choice. I have to have this song in the film. And, of course, it's, you know, the most expensive song in the world to get, but he got a great deal for us. And the rest of it is sort of trial and error. And then when I started to work with Steve, he would then throw in some suggestions and say, well, actually, I know this band here, and then there's this person here. And actually, our son's band has got a little music from his band in
there. That's
cool.
We
got two musicians in the family.
That's really cool.
Our son Joe's a drummer, and he drummed with a band called King Princess. He toured Europe and the UK and America. Now he's going on with another band to Southeast Asia and
Fiji Blue,
it's called. He's been all over the world, like places we've never been our entire life, and he's 25.
And he's getting paid to do it.
And he's getting paid to do it. Like, yeah. How did you do that?
It's anyway, a good life.
Yeah, it's a great life.
How long have you guys been married?
30, this year it will be
32, right?
Yeah. 32 years.
You know, it's been a while when you can't this quite month. Remember. You're like,
this is our 35th year together.
Yeah. But every
and I was 12 when we got married. Just in case anyone's doing the math.
No, but every year on our anniversary, I wake up and we look at each other and we're like, it's long enough, right?
Yeah, because
like anything new we're going to discover about each other is going to be awful.
It's not
like,
going to be great.
What is that thing on my back? Can you take a look? Those are the only revelations coming our way.
Oh, man.
I have.
Hey, but we.
I was just going to say, go ahead.
I was just going to say, but what kind of a summer did we just have? We had an amazing summer. We just went to the 50th anniversary screening of The Godfather in Taormina, Sicily, and we hung out with Francis Ford Coppola and had dinner with him. That was like a bucket list item. And he was the loveliest, not Hollywood guy you'd ever want to meet.
Who picked the wine?
Oh, I don't know. It was just someone was just bringing
it. It was
it
not
on.
Just us. There were like 30 other people.
Yeah, but who cares? I was sitting next to him. I don't care. I was sitting next to him.
You have to have a partner.
Sitting next to him, but way to burst my bubble, Patty.
That's how I tell stories, too. I'm like, I was hanging out with Garth Brooks after he won his CMA award, and you know, my wife would be like, well, there were like 35 people there. I'm like, there were only 35
Yeah, come on. Just let me run with it for once in my life.
Trust me, Patrick is loud enough. Garth knew he was there.
I don't know if I've ever told this story on the podcast.
But wait. Sorry, Patrick. But one more. Just at the end. We spent a day with the Pope.
Oh.
Like actually hanging out?
There were also 30
Drops
people
the
there.
Mic.
Mic How many people were in the room with the Pope? Don't lie. Tell us, Patty. Yeah.
Did you have 40. To play about my 40 sister's people. A nun card to get in? Yeah.
I'll show you the photos as evidence afterwards.
Fantastic. Wow. No, I was just going to say that it was after he won his last CMA award. We got Carson and I. Carson's a super Garth fan. So if I find out where the Garth after party is, I have to tell Carson.
Oh, I got a text too.
Yeah. So we're like,
one of us has his phone number.
We're leaving the party we're at to go to this other party. And it really was a little room about this size. There's maybe 25 people in there. And I'm like, this is crazy. And then suddenly we're standing there and whoever Garth was talking to stopped talking to him. So he just comes over and starts talking to us. And since Garth kind of came out of retirement like 7-8 years ago, whenever, I see him around town all the time, and I have this thing where I don't want to ask him for a picture because everybody goes up to Garth Brooks to get a selfie all the time. I'm sure you get this a lot, too.
Not as much as I would like.
Well, that's unexpected.
That's terrible.
Oh, see what he did there, ladies and gentlemen.
But I just told myself, I said, I'm never going to be that person that asks Garth Brooks for a selfie because it's so, I don't want to be that guy. And I want him to kind of, you know, remember, I know that guy. He never asked me for a picture. In my mind, that's what he says. So every time I see him, I'll shake his hand and say, it's so nice that you're here, or it was great to see you, or that show was awesome, or whatever. But I don't want to be one of the people asking for a picture. And we're standing at that party, and we talked to Garth for like 7 or 8 minutes, and no one came and interrupted us. And I think he was just like so used to somebody like pulling him away or someone else. And finally, we talked to Garth so long that he asked us if we wanted to take a picture with him. And
so he wanted to finish it.
I'm like, oh, that's his way of saying I'm done with you now. But yeah, okay, for sure, I'll take a picture with you, Garth Brooks. Let's do that. So
did you kneel and he knight you as well?
Yeah, he might have. He could have. It would have been fine.
Kiss the ring.
I would have been totally fine with that.
It's so great to have you guys in here.
Well,
Thank you.
We appreciate you having us.
Listen, you guys are great. And yes. Make sure you check out the. It's called Unexpected. The show is going to be at the Franklin Theater this Sunday. That's the 2nd of October, 12 o'clock. If you want to get tickets in advance, go to NashvilleFilmFest.org, or you can show up there at the theater itself.
Okay, before you, I know he's trying to wrap, but I want to ask one question about Raymond.
Mm-hmm.
Is there like one scene that everybody comes up to you and talks, or one show that is like the thing that everybody talks about?
Yeah, there's one where it's our Thanksgiving episode, and I drop the turkey on the floor, and it takes me about 3 tries to pick it back up. And this is while we're fighting, and I just open the oven and throw it in and slam it. And that's one of people's favorite one.
That's I was gonna say.
There's also a fridge splat where Raymond tries to put me on top of the fridge, and he ends up throwing me against it instead. While we're celebrating the fact that his parents are moving
fantastic.
Away.
That's fantastic.
The suitcase was a popular.
Tell you the one that I think of all the time, and maybe it's just me because of my marriage.
Okay,
but the episode where he tells you if you're not ready on time, he's going to leave.
Oh, AIS.
Like, oh, yeah. Go, yeah.
Ass in seat.
Ass in seat. Yeah, and then the curling iron gets stuck in your head, and he doesn't know that, but he leaves without you.
Yes.
Gets to the party, and all the other husbands are like, where's Deborah? And he's like, well, I told her, AIS, or I'm leaving without you. And they're all so impressed with him. And he's like the big man, like, yeah, that's right. I left her. I think about that every time I'm trying to leave my house. I think, you know what? One of these days I'm going to do that. But then I'm going to get the same reaction he got when he got home.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is that, you know, I'll never forget, though, it's the look on your face.
Yes.
Like, every man has, that's why we're so good at that part.
Dave just got that look last week. The death stare.
Oh, yeah. It's a regular occurrence.
I do have to interject then before we wrap, because my episode that I showed to my father, and I hope my mother never listens to this, is the Christmas episode where Deborah buys Ray a DVD player.
Oh, right.
And he says, like, you bought me something to relax and not help you. You want to be a martyr. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's my mother. And I like, call my dad. I'm like, have you seen the Christmas episode of Raymond? He's like, I got it on the DVR. I'm like, watch it. Make sure she's not in the room.
She's not watching with you.
And I was like, that is her. And so now, like, and it's one of my favorite. I'm a big Christmas TV person. It's one of my favorite Christmas episodes of any show. And it comes on, and I'm like, oh, Mom, you want to like go bake some cookies? Because you know, because like I'm part of me goes, you see, and then I go, what if she doesn't get that it's her?
Yeah,
so, it's like my secret between me and my dad.
Speaking of the DVD player, there's the one where Ray tapes over their wedding video yes. with a football
yeah.
game.
Yeah, football game. Yes.
Yeah, it's that was a favorite.
I'm so happy that yeah. you came in. Thank because you. You're so delightful, and Dave is. Hilarious, and I didn't expect that.
And as
why.
An adopted but kid, so I'm great. Excited about yeah. watching the movie.
Excellent.
Unexpected.
Well, I hope
so.
You all come and let us know. And
well, now that you live here, whenever you have new stuff you want to talk about, oh. you know you have friends.
Oh, that's so
that's
nice
very
of you.
Kind yeah. of
and
you.
By the way, I was in 3 episodes of Raymond.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm really disappointed that he didn't mention those episodes.
No, what are the sorry. Best episodes?
Well, there was the hacky-doo cards. Yeah, that yeah. was one of them. Yeah. And then there was the school election.
Yes.
Where I played the neighbor.
And then the babysitter.
And then the babysitter, yeah. yeah.
Okay. Those are the so best three.
They're the best three episodes
best
ever. Three.
Yeah. yeah.
You guys are adorable. It's good to see you guys. Thank you.
Thanks for having
I'm
us.
I'm Dave. This is Patty Big D, just in case you didn't know.
Gotcha.
In case we knock on your door.
Yeah. I'm going to sing. I'm not going to be nervous.
Of course. Now you feel you're sure?
getting comfortable. No, I'm still a little nervous.
You're having
I'm
a
trying to talk myself into it.
Having okay. a great day now.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It's fine. All right. Here we go. Thanks. Closing jingle time.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio. Every day, it was the podcast.